The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
If you wish to follow along, it's on page 957 of the Pew Bibles. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Would you care to be seated? Well, it's lovely to see such a crowd this morning. It's really lovely that you come to share Dusty's baptism with us. I wanted to talk a little bit about Lent. I commented to the children that it was Lent, and Lent is a time for getting ready for Easter. Normally we think of 40 days in Lent, and that only works if you don't count the Sundays. So if you're trying to work it out, Sundays don't count. They're called feast days, and they're there in the middle of Lent. But I asked at the early service, how did we know it was Lent? And I'm going to ask you and see if I get exactly the same answer. How do we know now that here we are in the church and it's Lent? No, no, you tell me. How do you know? Sorry, somebody said something. We had pancakes. That's exactly the answer I got from the early service. We had pancakes through the week. That's how we know it's Lent. Well, you know, if you did come and have pancakes, then that was good. It was a nice night. But that's not how we know it's Lent. I wonder what if you know the connection between the pancakes and the Lent. Because Lent used to be a time of fasting, a time when people might have eaten one meal a day. They didn't have anything flash like eggs or meat. They would have just had fresh fruit and vegetables, eating very sparsely so that they could be concentrating on God. So just before this Lenten fast started, they used up all the things that they considered were fancy foods and things. Now, we wouldn't consider eggs and flour as fancy food. We'd consider that fairly basic. But they used them all up, so that during Lent they just ate very sparsely to help them remember about Jesus. When I was little, and that's a long time ago, but when I was little, we didn't eat lollies in Lent. I don't know if anybody else can remember that. You just didn't have lollies. As I got a little bit older, we were encouraged to put the money that we spent on lollies into a little box, and that went away to the missions. Now, I'm quite sure that that wouldn't have been sufficient support for the missions, a few shillings perhaps from each child, but that was the tradition, and it was about going without something that you didn't need just to help other people. But But as we've grown and as the church has grown, we've come to see Lent as something a little bit different. It's a time of preparing for Easter. It's a time of perhaps spending a few more minutes each day with God. It's a time maybe to join a Bible study. There are Bible studies that run just for Lent. It might be a time to get a devotional book and read a little bit each day. Or you might like to make a commitment to spend, say, 5 minutes more in prayer each day. You might like to just consider sitting, not thinking about anything except for God, for a few minutes each day. It's a time to really get ready for what's going to happen at Easter time. Now, I've got a visitor this morning that I wanted particularly to talk to you so that you could know some of the things that he does. Our reading this morning was about Jesus being in the wilderness. And you might say, well, there's not much wilderness here. But I can tell you there's 1,700 people who don't know a lot about Jesus, who probably need or would like to know a little bit more about Jesus. And that's where Chappie Mark comes in. And he's come along today to give us an idea as to what he does. If you were at the annual general meeting last week, you would have realised that we've committed ourselves to several different agencies, and we were going to have a special month for each agency to promote its work and to collect some money for that agency. This is the start, and I'm delighted that it started with school chaplaincy because it's something that's very dear to my heart. So Mark, would you like to come and meet some of these lovely people and tell them a little bit about what you do?
Thank you, Christine. Yeah, I shared in the early service about the work of a chaplain, and my role as described by my role description according to DEET, which is the Department of Educational Training, is that I'm there to support students, their families, the teachers and the wider school community in their social, emotional and spiritual well-being. So that's the description of my role according to the Education Department. So I can, under their role description, talk about the things of God. And I can share the things of God with students and how if they follow Jesus' teachings, their life will be a lot better and they'd have support spiritually as well as the emotional and social support that I give. When Christine was talking about a wilderness experience, when I first came into the role, I've been there now eight months. And when I first walked into the school, it felt like I was walking into a wilderness. The things that happened in a school, I thought, these things, when I was at school, these things didn't happen. And there was no drug problem when I was at school. I never saw anything to do with domestic violence and abuse. And these things, I didn't see these things as a student, but to walk into the school and see the things that are happening not only in the students' lives and their families, but in teachers' lives as well, it's like my eyes were just opened wide. And I've had to put so much faith and trust in God and seeking His wisdom on how to deal with issues. I just want to give one example. I had a phone call from a teacher and said that there's some young students at the school that are doing it pretty tough. Can you help? So I went, okay, what am I? So I rang the parent, the mother up. She's a single mum. She's got triplets that have just started year 7. She's got an older student that's in year 9 at another school. And she's got one child just starting primary school. So she's on her own on a disability pension, trying to support 5 students at school. And anyone who's got kids at school know that there's no free lunch anymore. There's no such thing as free education. It costs money. So this young mum was trying to support these kids. So I said, oh, is there anything I can do to help? Can I give you some support somehow? And we have a freezer full of frozen meals that have been prepared by churches and different people within the school. Can I drop some meals around? She was so thankful. She said, oh yes, it'd be great, thank you so much. So I rocked up with a big box of non-perishable stuff and some frozen meals. And she said, oh Mark, she said, thank you for your help, but we can't use the frozen meals. My fridge is broken down. So I was able to source her a fridge and take that around, and she was able to use the frozen meals. But out of that one simple act, I then had one of the children come to see me, a young girl. And she came in tears with a friend. I said, what's the problem? And we sat down and talked. And she was getting bullied by another group of her friends from the previous school. So we were able to work through this issue over a couple of weeks. Then I saw her again, she was in tears again. I said, what's happened this time? She says, oh, I came to see you on Friday, but you weren't here. Because I'm only funded to work 3 days a week in the school. I said, what happened? She said, I was riding my scooter home, and these Year 10 boys pushed me off my scooter and sexually abused me. It's a 12-year-old girl. She was in tears. And I was able to help her and walk her through this process over the next couple of weeks. And we're still dealing with that issue with that young girl. But imagine if I wasn't there. Who could that family turn to? Who could the young girl turn to seek help? She couldn't turn to a teacher to seek help because the teachers are too overworked and overloaded dealing with 30 kids in the class. She couldn't turn to the guidance officer because the guidance officer, his role is to deal with behavioural issues. So he wouldn't be able to support their family. We were able to help that girl through the local chaplaincy committee. We linked her up with the netball team. She came to me crying. The mum rang me, crying, saying, my daughter came home, she's been accepted on the netball team, but she came home crying knowing that mum couldn't afford the $60 registration fee for her to play netball. I was able to talk to my committee and we paid for her netball registration. If I wasn't there in the school, who could do that? The school doesn't pay the registration fees. It's up to the family. That's just one family, one girl that's been helped. And who knows what might have happened if there wasn't a chaplain in the school. Just some things that have happened since, this is over the last 6 weeks. We're 6 weeks into term one. I've been able to supply over 2,500 breakfasts to students in the school who maybe otherwise wouldn't have had breakfast. I was able to give over 320 lunches to students within the school. I've given out 120 family meal packs to families. I've done 40 home visits with families. I've been able to arrange for two families to get housing. As I said before, I've been able to get a fridge for a family. I've had over 45 one-on-one meetings with students to help them through issues in their school. I found one mother a job. These things happen all outside, most of these things happen outside of my normal work hours. So far within the school community, we've had 12 deaths within student families. That's either parents, siblings, or grandparents die. I've had four students come to me and tell me that they've got life-threatening illnesses, cancer and leukemia. I've had seven young girls and one young boy self-harm. I've had to deal with two sexual abuse cases. I've dealt with relationship breakdowns, girlfriend-boyfriend issues, unfortunately girlfriend-girlfriend issues, and boyfriend-boyfriend issues. So the school, the young people are changing We've got to be so careful what we allow in our schools with the safe schools programs and things like that. Teaching children it's okay to experiment with your sexuality and things like that. Again, I say, if there was no champion in that school, who would be there to help these kids? So how can you help? How can the Christian community help chaplaincy? This church so generously supports me and the chaplain of Medina, Sarah Dwyer. She's the chaplain of Medina Primary School. The church helps get involved in supporting chaplaincy through the local church. You can help support individually, either giving to the church or giving to our chaplaincy committee on a monthly basis, an ongoing support. Now, it costs me $17,000 a year. I have to personally fundraise to pay for things like the breakfast program and helping kids and helping families. As part of the process is, as a chaplain, we have to fundraise over half of our wages. You can, if an occasion comes up where you can volunteer in the school, that all helps. You can attend fundraising events. We've got a fundraising event coming up at Club Kiwana, a barefoot bowls afternoon for a family. And it's $10 a head to be able to come and support chaplaincy. Importantly, tell others about the work of chaplains and what chaplains do within schools. So we don't advertise. Scripture Union can't afford to advertise. It's a non-for-profit organisation that I work for as a chaplain. They help with my personal development and training and all those sort of things. Tell others about the work of chaplains. And above all, pray. Pray for the schools, pray for the students, pray for chaplains, that we would get the wisdom of God and how to deal with these situations. So that's just a little bit about what chaplains do in school. So there's 2,200 children, as well as teachers and families, that as a church, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you can pray for those people. So thank you very much for your time. I hope that isn't all bad news. School is a great place.
It's lovely to hear what's going on, isn't it? Thank you.
Seems to have a bit of an echo going on here too. I don't know about that. It's also time for me to invite Naomi and Dale and Corey and Jason to come forward as well and to bring Dusty out. And if any of the shorter members of the congregation want to come, they can come out as well. We don't mind if children walk around. We'll walk around from time to time when things get boring, so that'll be a good assessment. Best place for photos is from the centre aisle. Don't feel embarrassed. As we said before, that's the way the dust is going to remember. And during the course of our baptism section of the service, the words will come up on the screen, responses are there, and so I invite everybody to join in, because when we have a baptism, it's a chance for us to remember a little of what it means to be baptised. So when I ask the parents and godparents to answer questions, I would invite the whole congregation as well. Guess what, he's found grandma. What's a close-up photo? Oh. So, I invite you now, particularly you four guys, but also anyone else that would like to respond. Will you accept the responsibilities placed on you in bringing Dusty for baptism? Are you willing to answer on behalf of Dusty? by your own prayers and example, by your friendship and love, when you encouraged us to in the life and faith of the Christian community. I was rather hopeful that some people from Kamana might be prepared to answer that question as well. We might just go back to it, and I might just ask it again. By your own prayers and example, by your friendship and love, will you encourage Dusty in the life of the Christian community?
I will, with God's help.
Isn't that more encouraging to know that you guys are not on your own? So before God in this congregation, you must affirm, and you must affirm, that you turn to Christ when you get all that is evil. I ask you all, therefore, do you turn to Christ?
I turn to Christ.
Do you repent of your sins?
I repent of my sins.
Do you reject selfish living and all bloodless faults and unjust?
I reject them all.
A further question, do you renounce Satan and all evil?
I renounce all that is evil.
And we've all said those words, but this little prayer is meant just for this guy. Yeah, it's meant for you. His mum didn't tell him that there was going to be a guy wearing a dress. He's in church! Praise the Lord! Almighty God, delivered you from the powers of darkness and lead you in the light of Christ, in the everlasting kingdom.
Amen.
Can I say something to that? Of course we can. A further question of everyone is, when you, by God's grace, strive to live as a disciple of Christ, loving God with your whole heart and your neighbour as yourself, what is your life's end?
I will, with God's help.
I apologise, Naomi, for the spelling of this. I only just spotted it. You have heard Naomi and Dale and Grayson and Coralie respond to Christ. This is now your chance to really lift the circle. Will you support them in this calling?
We will.
I think I've got some water. I asked someone this morning if the church had a ewer, and they looked blankly back at me. That's what it is. To new birth in your church through the waters of baptism. Pour out your Holy Spirit and blessing and sanctify this water, that he who is to be baptized in it may be made one with Christ in his death and resurrection. May he die to sin, rise to newness of life, and continue forever. In Christ our Lord. It's very serious business this way. You really want to think of these words.
Yep.
Through whom we give you praise and honor in the unity of the Spirit now and forever.
Amen.
I now ask everyone, we're going to have a slight break here from the normal tradition. Normally we recite a creed, a statement of faith. In this occasion, because we seek for it, I now ask you all to affirm this for the church. We've used the words of the baptismal music in the song, I Believe. So use those words and vocalists will get ready. I'll just arrange our stage up here so that we can all sing. Would you like to stand as we sing this song? This I Believe. Thank you.
believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again.
Naomi, would you like to bring up Dusty over? Yeah, there's a couple of ways we can do this. We can indulge in an arm wrestle with him. Or if it's a little more quieter and a little more pleasant, if you just lead him over the border. There is. You've just reminded me of something. There was a very old church where I was baptised in Sydney, and it had written around the walls, "Suffer the little children to come home to me." And I used to think as a child, that's why. That is why babies always cry at their baptism. Dusty Bowie, I baptise you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That look of disbelief. Here I am, I'm all dressed up and he's gone and put water on me. he's into the oil. just so he doesn't get too much on his clothes. The second part of a baptism, we baptise with water because that's the washing we need. The second part is an anointing. When we anoint someone, we use a different element, and that is the element of oil. It's a very old biblical tradition. In this container, I have a little bit of oil, and I now make a sign of the cross. Are you enjoying it? Thanks, Dad. Oh, bless you. Now, Naomi, would you like to make the sign of the cross for us as well? Doing at the present time is we are sealing a contract. Dusty was brought this morning for baptism. Part of that baptism is to receive a blessing on his life. Instead of signing the contract with pen and ink, they're picking on you, mate, are they? Touching with oil anywhere, it doesn't have to be the forehead. It can be anywhere. We had anointing with people during this week and we had them anointed on their hands. Yeah. You've had enough.
One more.
One last one. Thank you. Not all anointings are happy. Dusty, we have signed you with a sign of the cross to show that you are marked as Christ's own forever. Live as a disciple of Christ, fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. Let's say together.
Confess Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, look for his coming in glory.
Tracy, I forgot to mention the first responsibility of the God. There's a little candle over there. Would you like to light that little candle from the big one? And see if you can keep it alight while we say some words. The large candle that Grayson is lighting this from is the Easter candle. It's a candle that reminds us of new life. It was lit in the church here last Easter. It will be replaced next Easter. Dusty, God has brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's say together,
shine as light in the world to the glory of God the Father.
I wonder if this will work. Look at these people here. Dusty, God has called you into his church.
We therefore receive and welcome you as a member with us of the body of Christ, as a child of the one heavenly Father, and as an inheritor.